On this episode, I'm thrilled to be joined by the Premier League's youngest captain, a key member of the current England squad and one of the game's biggest characters, England and West Ham midfielder Declan Rice.
Dec, thanks for joining us, mate.
I'm good.
As with all of our guests, we asked him, what was it like at the start for a young Declan Rice?
Yeah, just addicted to football.
Yeah.
From the moment I could walk, literally always in the garden with my older brothers and just kicking the ball around.
Do you think that helped having older brothers? Because I never had an older brother to knock about, but like a lot of footballers do. Conor Gallagher, I think he's got like three or four older brothers that played.
No, I think it definitely helped me because they were both good footballers as well. Played at a good standard, and obviously they'd play with their mates and they'd get me involved from an early age, and it would roughen me up and they'd push me around and it'd teach me to move the ball quicker. I loved it. As soon as I could walk, really, I was at a ball at my feet and I was just happy.
Chelsea fans, your family, you know, it's been well documented. You joined the academy at Chelsea at the age of 7. I mean, I didn't come in here at West Ham until I was like 11 or 12. So that, mate, at 7 years of age, like my youngest son's nearly 7, and I'm like, I can't, you know, he's still half watching Peppa Pig, you know, like. But you went in at Chelsea. What was that like going into a pro club at that age?
Yeah, it was crazy. I didn't really understand it, to be honest with you, at the start. Like, it all started, I was training at the development centre on like Friday nights.
Right.
In a dome with like a load of other different lads. It only started as like a development thing at the start. In Cobham,
Right.
And then I was actually signed for Chelsea when I was 8. I remember we played, I'd been offered a trial, and then had at the end of the 6-week trial, we played Swindon, and I got offered the contract after the Swindon game.
Right.
And I think I signed during that week. Yeah. But I didn't really understand it. Like, obviously I was only so young, but I knew I'd gone from doing nothing basically to them going to play for Chelsea. And it was like, what's going on here?
Did you have a Sunday team you was playing with?
No, I never played Sunday league. So I've said it before, like, it's a crazy story. I've got two older brothers, and my dad just didn't want to go that route with me.
Right.
Like he didn't want me to play Sunday league football.
Right.
But I actually had a cousin who was younger than me that was in the academy, not in the academy, in the development centre at the time with Chelsea. And it was actually his dad who put a reference through to Ray Rembridge. He was a scout.
Right.
And he was saying it's kind of impossible, like, we can't just bring him in because he doesn't play for a team.
Really?
And he was like, well, trust me, just get him down and you'll see how good he is, kind of thing. And then that's when I joined a development thing, and they was like, wow, like, for his age, he's very good. And then they offered me the trial, and then next thing, it's just in the academy. It was all crazy how my childhood worked.
Yeah.
It was went from nothing to being at Chelsea. It was whirlwind.
That's a unique thing. And you've gone into a team and an era when Chelsea's, I don't know what the years will be, but you had like Reece James, Mason Mount, Eddie Nketiah, and you said Conor Gallagher as you were going up the years, yeah?
Yeah, I remember we went to a tournament in Birkbeck. We won it, and we had the team. It was me, Mason Mount, Reece James, Trevor Chalobah, Mark Gerhey, Conor Gallagher.
That's 6 England players.
Eddie Nketiah.
Yeah, 7. Is he playing
for
the
club? No, in the younger ages. In the younger ages,
yeah.
So it's honestly, the team we had then was frightening. At that age, you never know what you're going to go on to do. But for a team then, the way we used to play, it was scary.
Did you batter teams?
Yeah, we used to batter tournaments, batter teams.
Yeah.
But then it actually changed, funny enough. About under 12, under 13, before I actually got released from Chelsea, West Ham, my age group at the time, they were just coming through and were the best team in the country.
Really?
They were winning everything, and we couldn't beat them for ages. They would always rock up at Cobham and smash us, and like, we'd hate it.
What was Joe Edwards your manager?
At the time, we had, now Joe was a bit older. We had like Cyril Davis, Mickey Bills, now QPR manager. Yeah. He was my under-12s coach.
Yeah.
Ed Brand, James Simo.
Yeah, I know Simo, yeah.
So like, we had so many different coaches, but our team was so good. So good.
Yeah, I mean, great players. And I talked to Neil Barth about, we talked about yourself and, like, you know, the decision at 14, he said was the hardest decision he ever made, because he said he could see the talent.
Yeah.
You know, he could see that, and it was almost as if, like, there was other players in your way and letting you go would have been better. But at 14, how was that, having been there since the age of 8? Was that...
Yeah, it was hard. It was horrific. It was heartbreaking. Yeah. Honestly, I couldn't imagine. One of the worst things I've had to go through as a 14-year-old to have that like news broke to you. Because I remember we trained on the Tuesday in the evening, and we was all finding out on the Wednesday, then there was training on the Thursday, and everyone was like talking about it, as you do as kids, like, what do you reckon?
Yeah.
And obviously everyone had calls like during the day, and then my dad got the call to say that they were letting me go, and I remember him coming home and telling me, and I just broke down, like, I was gutted. But then that night I went and trained with Fulham, and then like the night after I went and trained with West Ham. So like straight away I just moved on from it,
right?
Because I think they've got like a little thing going on where like scouts or like academy managers know which players are kind of getting released.
My
dad had a contact like straight away from Fulham, from a guy called Dan Rice, and he said we want him in, and I said, you know what, I'm gonna go train. And straight away my mindset had switched from obviously being released from Chelsea, which was tough, to just then had to go and find another club.
That's incredible. Like, and like, what? How do you think that shaped you? That having that at a young age, that knockback, that straight away, your natural reaction was to just go that night. That's a great example to not just young footballers, to any young person, because that's heartbreaking. We've all had disappointments in our career at various levels, but at 14, I mean, do you think that's shaped you as a person?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like I've always had to work for something. You know, like never had it just given to me on a plate. I've come across loads of players already, like even when I was 14, 15, who had everything on the table in front of them, but I've never had that. I've always had something to work for and work towards. So, see, when I got released, the only job I wanted to do when I was older was to become a footballer, on whatever level that was.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to put my mind to, I need to get back to a club. I don't want to fall out of football. I don't want to go back to school. Like, I want to push on, get a scholarship, and then you know, push on to a pro contract.
You say going back to school, because I don't think the new system now, a lot of the lads when they get to 14, don't they sort of have to change schools and go work within now?
I done that, but right. I mean, in terms of like, I
it's
didn't want to just
at that age,
it's massive, because obviously I've been, Chelsea was all I ever knew up until 14, 10 minutes from my house. And then obviously I had the decision of whether to sign for Fulham, which is 5 minutes from my house, or move into a Digs with West Ham. And in the end, my decision was West Ham, and a completely new challenge, which meant moving away from home, mum and dad at 14, new school, new friends. Yeah. So it was a massive decision.
What made you go with West Ham? What was the reasons? Was there lots of reasons?
Yeah, like there was the obvious, like the pathway of West Ham, like players like yourself, people coming through. There was always that. If you're good enough, you're going to get given a chance here. But also, like I said, the team, when I joined at 14, was the best in the country. Like, so, so strong, full of players that were just unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I thought, I want a bit of that. Like, I want to sign. Yeah. And that's what kind of made my decision in the end. And it was tough. The first 2 years when I had to move away from home, it was, it was horrible. I was proper homesick, missed home proper. Thought about moving back home and having to travel in every day. Loads of different things. But as I got older, obviously, as things steadied out, it just
how
become
often
the best
did you get
thing
back
ever.
In them days? Because people back don't home. Know about the commitments you have to make. Home to your mum and your dad, brother, sister.
Some of the lads would hardly ever go home, but I always wanted to go home on a Sunday after a game. I'd make sure my dad drove me home, and then on Monday I'd get the train from Kingston back up to Romford, and then get on the bus to school, which is up the road. Monday to Saturday, I was in the Digs.
Yeah.
So FaceTime or whatever, phone calls with mum and dad. But people don't realise that, you know what I mean? Like you said there, like the stuff you have to go through as well.
I know.
It's really tough.
And like you said, there's lads there, not everyone can be a Declan Rice or a Mason Mount. There's loads of lads who don't get it. Do you know what I mean? So it's not a perfect system, but it's producing great players like yourself. You know, and this club, it always produces great players. You fast forward, you make your debut against Burnley. Was that like vindication for your decision? Your dad and your mum and everyone must have felt proud. I know, speaking from my experience, my mum found it difficult when I went up to Lillishaw at 14.
Yeah.
But it all must have been worthwhile the day you made your debut at West Ham.
Yeah, it was like, I'd been on the bench since like December time. I remember going away, my first Christmas, Boxing Day away at Swansea.
Yeah.
Going of like Sunderland away, like all these different games, and I hadn't got on. And I was thinking, oh, please, just give me some minutes. And then I remember Burnley, he's called me to warm up, and then I've managed to get on the pitch. And then it's like you said, it's like that feeling of just coming on. And for the first time, it's a feeling you'll never get ever again.
You'll never forget it, Dec. It's a special moment. And like I said, it's like the start of the journey for the fans who see you. Like everyone goes, oh, Declan Rice made his debut against Burnley, but you've already gone through that story, and it's just the beginning. It's the end of his first part, And now you're a West Ham player. How long did it take you, do you think, until you found your, felt yourself established in the early days at West Ham? Because I remember a game you played centre-half against Man City. Was that a game? Was that
away?
Was that the next season?
Yeah, next season. It was like the sixth, seventh. To be fair, I don't know. Like, obviously, made my debut. The season ended, and then we come back, and then we played Man United on the opening day, and we lost 4-0. But I come on after 60 minutes, and I remember this is my second game in the Premier League. I was thinking, wow, like this is it. Like, I loved it.
Yeah.
And then I've started at Southampton, and then I played at Newcastle. Started again, and I give the ball away. They scored and got dragged at half time.
I've got it written down here, mate. I was glad you brought it up.
So straight away, like I'm having to deal with setbacks on the biggest stage, making mistakes.
Yeah.
How are you going to come back from it? How are you going to cope? Like all these different things. But I've had so many setbacks and mistakes whilst giving the ball away or pulling someone down for a penalty. It's all part of the learning process. Yeah, like it makes you learn so much as a player. And
what's your process for dealing with that then?
I feel like a lot of people would cave. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like fourth game in Premier League, you give the ball away, Newcastle away, you score. Yeah. Obviously, it's like that. I remember Joe Hart coming to put his arm around me. I got taken off at half time, and then I thought, everyone makes mistakes. Like you need to, like you're not going to get better if you don't learn from it. Obviously, you need to keep pushing. It's only your fourth game. And I think I played like 28 games that season. Moyes come in halfway through. I played centre-half under Moyes. Yeah. And then obviously Pellegrini come in. And yeah, the rest is... I feel like at the end of that Moyesy period, before Pellegrini come in, was when I started to feel like proper established.
Your trajectory of improvement, like was the, like you said, you always had something to aim for.
Yeah.
You know, you wasn't a wonder kid, was you?
No,
there was no one going, he's definitely going to come through. So we see you make your mistakes. But the beautiful thing with you, Dec, written down in the notes, is, like you said, you've got this way of, like, always overcoming your obstacles, you know what I mean? And then, you know, you become established here. Like you said, obviously, Moyes' season was a little bit of a struggle.
Yeah.
Got the job done. Moyes, you done great.
Yeah.
And then Pellegrini come in. What was your expectations around that?
I was nervous because, obviously, the type of manager he is and the name he is.
Yeah.
The players we brought in that summer, we brought in Jack Wilshere. We brought in some other players at centre-half. So I'm kind of thinking, like, I've just played a season here. Where am I going to fit in?
Yeah.
And I remember we started the season off Liverpool way. Again, dragged at half-time.
Right.
And then we played the next two games, I was left out of the squad. And I remember going to Pellegrini and saying, look, I want to go on loan. And he looked at me and laughed.
Did he?
Yeah, he looked at me and laughed and went, you're going to play. And we'd lost two in a row and then we played Everton away. And we won 3-1. I got man the match. And then I played from the fourth game in until the end of the season. I didn't get taken off, played every game. And then that was when, like, I thought, you know what? Why did I even ask? Like, I want to go on loan. Like, the manager obviously sees something he believed in.
Yeah.
He was just wanted to bed me in at the right time. And that was a pressure game at Everton because obviously dragged the half time in the first one, missed the next two, and then I play in that one. And I feel like that game there made me really.
Was your mindset just like, the next time I get in, I'm never coming out again?
Yeah, that Everton game was massive because I remember we played like 4-3-3. I was the whole midfielder. I remember them showing me clips of like Sigurdsson before, like the positions he picks up and. I just stayed on him the whole game, and I just, you know, as a holding midfielder, interceptions, winning headers, winning tackles, knocking the ball off, and I just grew in confidence as the game went on, and then that was it then really. My confidence was sky high and just felt on top of the world and just pushed on from there.
Yeah, and your first goal against Arsenal, the iconic knee slide, how's that?
Yeah, you know what a knee slide's like, it's every kid's dream.
Mate, my knees, I've done a knee slide once, I don't know whether I got something wrong, I've ripped my knees off, I've never done it again.
Really,
Yeah, but they were baggy pitches back then, mate.
The grass has got to be proper wet to do a knee slide now, but mate, that feeling, like I've gone a whole season without not scoring, all the lads were on me, you need to start scoring some goals. So when the ball got set back to me and I put it in, it was like, you could feel the relief of the fans as well. Like the fans, it was like a louder cheer than like a usual cheer would be. Yeah. It was so special.
Do you feel pressure yourself to score goals? So I don't feel like, people keep saying he's adding goals to his game, but if you're like that libero, that sort of holding midfield, it's not something you need to do. It's just something that you can do because you've got so much quality.
Yeah,
but would you want to score more goals or do you want to be more of a role player?
Nah, I would love to score more goals. My game isn't going to be like a Lampard running into the box because that takes years of practice. And obviously, I've always known to to be outside the box, kind of when the ball's going in, to hold my position. But it's definitely something I could add 100%. Like now, obviously, my first couple of years I wasn't out and out holding midfielder, but I don't really see myself as that anymore. Mm. Like, I am a holding midfielder, but I feel like I can play more box to box, more energy, get around the pitch, press, get back, get on the ball more. Just more like free in midfield.
Who do you look at in world football? Because I know, like, you're a humble guy, and you know, a lot of people, me included, will put you down in the top bracket of midfielders now in the world football. But like, I know you're a humble guy. Is there anyone you look up to in the world football and think, or just look at I like that. I want to take that to my game.
Well, to be fair, the way I play is I like to like pull out. The way I like to play is Tony Cruz. He like pulls away from the ball, and the way he just receives on the back foot, because then his eyes are always facing forward, and he can see the whole pitch.
Yeah.
And I watch him all the time, and he's so effortless. Even though he's probably not got the legs like he used to have, the way of when he's got the ball and he opens his body up, he's always facing forward.
Yeah.
And it's like he can either, if he needs to go back, he can. But if he can run, take the ball forward a few yards, or pop a pass inside, or hit a diagonal. I love watching him play because he always picks up the right spaces and he plays in that little left pocket, which I like to play in as well for West Ham.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know what, I did the game the other night and I looked at Flynn Downs.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting now, you're 23, but the way you play is already affecting the next generation. Because I looked at him at times and I was having a double take. He runs like you.
Yeah.
He receives the ball like you. He's clearly watched your game.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So you're looking at Tony Cruz, he's looking at Declan Rice. That's how far you've come in such a short space of time.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it feels crazy to say that. but yeah, not wrong. Like, and I love playing with him as well because he's an out and out old midfielder. He just said you can go on and express yourself.
Yeah,
I was like, in the second half, I got in the box a few times. I was like really pushing on. Yeah. It's definitely something I can add to my game for sure.
No, for sure. For the Pellegrini era, you know, it didn't end how it should have ended. David Moyes come in. Considering, you know, you were at West Ham 3 years and the managers have changed, David coming back in, now you're an established player.
Yeah.
Was it a different conversation with him as he come through the door? Did he treat you different?
He treated me different, 100%. I think because I was a centre, I played in the back three when he was first there and I was a kid. I was 18. And then when he come back, I was like 20.
Yeah.
And obviously I'd improved a lot. Me and Nobes were only like his two midfielders at the time before we brought in Thomas.
Yeah.
So he kind of pulled us in and was like, look, we need you two. Like, you two have got a good relationship on the pitch. Like, you're going to be integral to this team. And we remember we played and like literally was flying. And like literally my relationship, just from the moment he come back in, just went from strength to strength for me. Like,
had a great little thing going on, didn't you, the two of you?
Yeah.
You benefited each other like perfect. Like, as an older player, as you get older, it will happen. There'll be a young player who come along and you'll go, come here, you can play then. And then you impart them your wisdom, your knowledge, and their legs and energy help you out.
100%.
So you had that with Nobes, didn't you?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I would have done his running all day. like you said on the pitch, he always used to put me in position and give me the ball, and we'd always be so close to each other so we could just play little bounce passes and, you know, try to get a control on the game. It was always special playing with Nobes.
BT Sport Pods. Like you said, you got into the team playing within a back three, and now you've fully established as a midfielder. Is that your natural position, where you want to play? And was there anything you found difficult, or was it you felt at home straight away?
Nah, it's obviously a complete different game because centre half, everything's in front of you. Midfield, everything's, you know, around you.
Yeah.
It's a totally different game. Technically, at the start, I knew I was good enough to play in midfield, but probably awareness-wise, I had a lot to improve on.
Yeah.
Going from centre-back into the middle and how Pellegrini wanted to play, especially, as well. Mm. But I grew into that role. At the start, I wouldn't say I was shaky, but I was steady. You know, I just wanted to do the right things and, you know, get through the game, like, doing the basics well to a good standard. And then as my confidence grew and, you know, like you said, established myself more and more. Mm. That's when my confidence, you know, I started driving the ball forward, turning, running past people, playing little passes through the lines. Like, I think it took me maybe a year and a bit to just keep gaining that confidence.
Yeah.
Now I'd say my confidence is as high as anything when I play midfield. Like, I always go into games thinking that, you know, I'm going to be one of the best players on the pitch, that I'm going to, you know, get the ball, do what I need to do and, you know, try and be the best player.
Oh, you can definitely see that. Well, can I take you back to 2020 for a second? Nobody wants to go back to 2020. What happened? West Ham were sort of struggling, and then COVID hit and it shut down. And it's hard to now to look back here and think, you know, how was that like? I was covering the games and it was eerie watching it. But West Ham, it seemed, actually benefited Mikko Antonio for real. Like, he grew during that period, didn't he? When the fans went away, like the whole club. Did you feel that the whole club could breathe?
Yeah.
And then develop this team that went on to nearly win the Europa League eventually.
We always, I think the one key thing about us during that period is we obviously had so long off, but as a group of players, we got ourselves so fit.
Yeah.
Like, super fit. We was getting sent pro, like, usually you could take time off. Like, you're at home, you've got, there's no Premier League games, but the lads were being sent stuff. And honestly, the lads come back, like, fitter than I've ever seen before.
Really?
When we come back, we was flying. We obviously stayed up. And then the season after, we just went to another level.
Yeah,
and I feel like the whole thing during COVID is the lads' mindset, mentality of staying fit, you know, and wanting to stay in the Premier League, it really pushed us on.
Like, go back with the history of the club, because of the fans, you know, moving to the new stadium, there was always that little bit they wasn't happy, wasn't content, and then that would make it difficult for the players because that would go onto the pitch. And it, from outside, it seemed like, right, we'll take that away. David could concentrate on how he wanted the team to play. Like you said, the lads were diligent and professional. But then you started picking up results. Antonio seemed to grow during that
Everyone's confidence just went like that. Like, like you said, we come back like a new team.
Yeah.
Manager was getting longer to prepare with us on the grass. I remember at the start, we come back and like it was like two people at once. You know what I mean? Like we'd come back, we'd have to drive the car in. Like even the first bit at the start, Moyes was having to watch through the cameras. It was like a bizarre, a whole bizarre year and a half. But the way he got us playing then, he could really stamp his authority and we really pushed on.
That's what I think it was. I think it was the way that it's sort of the fans come out, he got to work with his team.
Yeah.
This is how we play.
Yeah.
Then by the time the fans come back in the stadium, they sort of got, I get it now. Do you know what I mean? And they got behind it and it was amazing.
Yeah.
The next season, finished six. Nominated for Young Player of the Year, record-breaking points tally. Talk to me about that particular team, and also Jesse Lingard come in as well. How much of a lift was that?
Yeah, that team was obviously one of the best I played in. Because what we were doing on the pitch, a lot of that come from how we was together off the pitch.
Right.
Like this environment we had built here in terms of the lads that were here. All the English lads, even the foreign lads, everyone had brought into it. Like I couldn't tell you, like it's an enjoyable place to come. Like you'd like that season, you'd come in. It's still like that now, but the banter would be flying at breakfast.
Yeah.
All the other lads from other countries would be sat having banter. That's rare. Like, you know what I mean? Usually you're sat with people from your own country. Like you're speaking your own language. Everyone would sit together. Would go on team nights out for food. Like we literally just bonded so well.
Yeah.
And we'd literally do anything for each other. And on the pitch, you could see we was just. It was confidence.
Like,
I think any team that was coming to our stadium knew they was in for a game.
Yeah.
When we went away to teams, we always knew that we had a chance of winning.
Yeah.
It was just if we could score the goals. And obviously Mickey was flying. Like you said, Jesse come in. He scored, 11 goals?
Mate, so it was just ridiculous. Yeah, that
I think we finished 3 points off the Champions League that year.
Yeah.
And we was gutted. Like we messed up one of the games at home towards the end. But that season we had was so special. The team we had was... Yeah, incredible.
Yeah. Was she surprised the club, for whatever reason, didn't get the Jesse deal done that summer? Or was his mind set on going back and having one last pop at Man U?
Yeah, I think when you're at a club the size of Man United and you obviously come on loan, you're still contracted to Man United at the end of the day. So in his eyes, he's done this well with West Ham. He should have been, in his eyes, you deserve to be given another shot at United.
Yeah.
So. That you can't blame him for wanting that. He obviously come to us, had an incredible 6 months. The fans loved him, the players loved him. But then in the end, you kind of got to ultimately respect his decision because he's still a Man United player. So the lads were, you know, not really bothered by it really.
Yeah.
Obviously, we wanted him back, but he made his decision and that was it.
Players come and go. Come and go. The clubs in, and that goes just into last season. Deck arguably. Probably the most fun season, I think, for majority of West Ham fans. It was incredible. We covered it. From the start of the season, did you foresee something like that happening?
Yeah. It was after the start. We'd beat Newcastle away first game.
Yeah.
And then I think we beat Leicester at home. And you could just feel like the way we was playing, the confidence, the energy we had, we was like, yeah, this is... it's going to be a good season. Yeah. Like, we went to Leeds away, we went 1-0 down, we won 2-1, we scored last minute. Yeah. And it was just something that was building.
Yeah.
And then obviously the Europa League come, and then that just, in terms of confidence-wise, first time obviously in Europe for loads of the lads, it just took us to new levels.
Yeah. Do you know what? I remember covering the game, and I said to the bosses at BT, I said, look, we need to do it, because West Ham had that great season, got yourself, all the, you know, you've got Mark Noble's last season, all these great players have been put together. I was like, listen, this is the, and I'm speaking to my pals at West Ham, they were so excited for it. And I'm saying, we need to cover this, we need to do a good job here, because, you know, I was like, we need to be away, because they're going to travel more banded, it's going to be great. And it's like, yeah. And I'm like, right. So we got me and Colton in, and we did the coverage. And Colton's like proper West Ham, and he's so excited. So we got it going, and it just seemed to build momentum. And then we speak to Nobes, and I'd be like, Nobes, do you think you? I'll be on like on air interviewing him. I said, do you think you can win it? He's like, oh, well, you know, one game. I'm like, Nobes, I can't. You can win this. I believed it from the start.
We all did. And we all did.
You like it. Just like when we was watching you. You're all your team. Every game, whether it be the, you know, the group stages, the Lyon playing at that level, was just like you was having it off.
Everyone. Well, we've been written off by everyone. Like I remember we trained outside. We'd got through the group. We was training. The draw come through. Stuart Pearce come out and said Seville. We've got Seville.
Yeah.
And we was asking the Spanish lads what Seville like, and they was all like, they're a good team. Yeah. We was like, oh, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Went to Seville. We should have been 1-0 up. Yeah. We lost the game 1-0, but we played and we competed so well.
Yeah.
And then when we come back to our stadium, you could just tell, like, that type of team that Seville was. I don't think they'd been put in an environment like that before. Like, the lads were just on them. Like, the fans were on it. The manager was on it on the side. Like everyone just had this fire in their stomach to go out there. And obviously won that game. And the momentum then just built. We was like, you know what, bring anyone on. Then we had Lyon, obviously.
Yeah.
And then when it got to the final four, genuinely in my mind, we was the best team left in it.
Yes.
We was the best team left in it. And I feel like, obviously, red cards change games as football. Mm. You can't change that. But if that red card against Frankfurt wouldn't have happened in that second leg, we would have won that game.
Mm.
And we would have gone on to win the tournament 100%. Because the lads' minds were just so focused on doing a job, and you know that trophy, like for loads of us, it would have been the first, we'd have been in history for West Ham, which was gutting. But the whole experience of it, like, it will live with me forever. Just we used to come back from places like Vienna, we'd have to stay back in Stratford, and like the loads of that, like, we'd get back at like 1 a.m, we'd be delivery in McDonald's, like me, Nodes, Chris, like we'd just won a game, and it's like, this is unreal, like it just felt so special.
Yeah.
And then like the next day we'd come in, have breakfast, we'd have a laugh. It was just like spending the time away, even though we was away a lot, you know, it was really, really special. Like, I look back at it now all the time, we talk about it, like we'd go back to them days tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like, it's sad in a way, because you're not going to experience that again with the players we obviously had there at the time, but it will come again.
It will come again. And you've got the Sevilla game, we'll just go back, because the Sevilla game at home, like you said, that was the epitome. That reminded me that you're way too young to remember Upton Park, but I'm talking late 90s Upton Park, where it was the old racket, and that play, it used to shake on night games if we played Spurs or something like that. But the Olympic Stadium that night reminded me of that, the fans and the players as one.
I can't describe, honestly, the whole night was just incredible. Especially after it might have been a different, Areola made that great save, didn't he, early on.
Yeah.
And we obviously scored, and Yama scored, so it was coming. But as it went to extra time, you could see both teams were tiring. You know, they were bringing on top players. Obviously, we didn't really have the strongest of squads in terms of last year, bringing players off the bench. But when Yama come on as well for the whole, like, and he scored, it was just, it was incredible.
That was like, again, like, sometimes football throws up these beautiful stories, like everything 100%. Was going on with Ukraine. And it was, it was incredible. It had everything. Do you know what I even loved about last year's campaign? When the young lads played, and we had great footage on BT where we, like, some of the lads' mums and dads were,
Zagreb. Yeah. Nobes played in that game with all the young players. Like, everything loved about everything last about year was incredible.
Like, we talked about the nice, but I need to ask you a question about the semi-final, because we was out there in Frankfurt and we was having a great time. And obviously the game happened, and I think Becky, who reports for us, she come in and she said, I feel so sorry for Dec, because you asked her a question. You had to do the media straight after losing the game. And I think you said to her, who's won in the other game? and Rangers went shocked.
Yeah.
Leipzig.
Yeah.
And I know you're, and she said he looked like you'd been shot. You're like, oh no, because with respect to Rangers.
Yeah.
West Ham Rangers final, we'd have been massive favourites to win. Was that, she said...
I weren't looking at it like that in terms of everyone had Leipzig to beat Rangers in that game. And I love Rangers. Like, they're a couple of my dad's friends are top Rangers fans. So watch out for their results all the time. But for the possibility to play Rangers in a final...
A European final.
It would have been insane. For the Europa League, like... It would have been a history. It would have been a history game.
Oh god!
Like, so for the fact that we lost, I think the game might have gone different. We obviously went to 10 men, but if we could have not conceded that goal, we actually done really well with 10 men. We was attacking them more than they were coming at us.
I know.
Like, and we had some few chances second half as well, but obviously football throws up different things. It's life, isn't it?
Mm. And they had some talented players. Yeah. Kostic has gone to Juventus. Yeah. He was a good player, you know. But it was. The journey come to an end, but. I think you and a group of players and a manager have made a whole generation of West Ham fans believe.
Yeah.
You know, now we've got the Conference League.
Yeah.
You know, get through. I know they might not be glamorising the group, but if you get to the later stages, you're still going to be playing your Frankfurts, Lyons, your Romas, your finals. Like big, big teams. So I'm sure it'll be great. For a 23-year-old that you've had a... quite the international career altogether. Euro 2020, you played in 21. Like, from my perspective, being an England player, like, we didn't get the job done. We didn't win a tournament, you know. And it hurts because, you know, you can't turn the clock back and go again. We got it wrong. Now, but I still feel connected to you as a team. Like, I'm a fan now, but I watch the lads because I know... So what, me from a fan's perspective, ex-player watching it, I know if you went and won that tournament, that'd be your doing and your play. But I know that you would have learnt from all of our mistakes and we would have felt part of it, like history and, you know what I mean? And I was watching it, mate, and I remember the semi-final against
Denmark
and I was like, I was fighting back the tears. It was amazing. So talk to me about playing, first of all, just talk to me about playing in and what it was like in that atmosphere.
Oh, wow, it was incredible. Yeah. Obviously, the first game we had Croatia, and you obviously read a lot of talk before the games, like, we're coming up against Kovacic, Modric.
Yeah.
And they're like, England's midfield's weak. They ain't going to... they won't be able to compete with Croatia. You know, all this nonsense that you read, and it just fires you up even more.
Yeah.
We obviously won that game 1-0. Me and Calv played really well in the middle. The whole team played well, and then from that moment in, we obviously didn't have the best of games against Scotland, beat Czech Republic, but you could just tell we was together. Like we knew we had something special in that changing room and on the pitch. It was just going out there and doing it, and we did. And obviously the final, like I said, there's football, things happen, but the way and the journey that we had, it was like, it was special.
Incredible. So the final comes, Italy. I haven't bought football tickets from anyone for 25 years. Like, I usually get my tickets for free. It's one of the benefits of the job. I had to buy my own tickets for the game. That's how big the game was, right? So I'm watching the game and you are playing outstanding, you know, 70 minutes. We're sort of giving away possession to them. I was surprised when you got taken off. You was playing at such a high level, and I know from speaking to my Italian friends, they was, you know, and that's usually a good gauge. They would go, oh, thank Declan went off, that was great for us.
Was
you feeling good in the game?
That was because, so we obviously had that final, and obviously what I was in terms of driving with the ball, running past the Italian players, I took that into next season as well, the season after with West Ham. I just pushed that on as well. That final gave me the confidence for the season after. 100%. I remember, like, first half, I just felt in my mind, I'm going to go out there and have it. Like, this is the final. Like, what have you got to lose? And I was probably doing things with a football I've never done, but I've got it, you know what I mean? Like you said, second half, we was kind of under the cosh, the formations. Mm. Like, we had a five at the back, they had a four, they had an extra man in midfield. It was hard to push up the pitch. Loads of different things played into account. Maybe he thought that, you know, I looked tired maybe with all the running we was doing. It's a decision at the end of the day. Like, as a player, I played in every game. I'd come off that pitch at 1-0. You know, I had my head held high, I had full confidence we was going to go on to win. You know, like if we go on to win, the question's not even asked. So it's a decision at the end of the day. You always get, you can get subbed, you cannot get subbed sometimes. It's just one of them things. But I was gutted when I come off, but I was happy with the way I played.
I thought tactically from the game, looking at it, you know, we scored early, we're trying to hold on to a lead. Like, but I think where we went wrong is, not went wrong, I thought we could have played, Mason was playing just off the left, weren't he? I thought we'd have tucked him in to help you out as an extra body and get him to stand on Jorginho. Because I felt you was doing two jobs. Like, you're more than capable of doing it. But there's a lot of bodies in there.
Yeah, there was. Me and Cal was doing a lot of running, to be fair. A lot of shifting left and right. And like you said, maybe if we could have went to a four and then had an extra one and pushed an extra attacker up the pitch, would have evened it out. But yeah, just, it's always what ifs, isn't it? What if, you know, if something, you know, if they don't score, we hadn't conceded a corner for so many games and we lose the first contact at the post, then we miss the second contact, then it gets knocked back across the box, 1-1. Like, just little things in finals, big pressure moments that, you know, sometimes don't go the way you want.
What's, if there's one, if I ask you one memory from that tournament, what would it be, stand out, that you'll take from it? Positive memory.
Probably the Germany game.
Yeah.
Like, that was another level. Yeah. It's just to be involved in a game of that quality and the level of like, the level of player they had on the pitch. Like, it was, I remember I got a yellow card after about 4 minutes.
Yeah, I remember.
Brought someone down the edge of the box, but he actually fouled. Like, I've watched it back. He brings me down. Like, we have a tang, but he actually locks his leg into me, and I go down, then I fall on top of him. So to me, to them players, the holding midfielders, to then go through that whole game thinking, you know what, you need to be so careful here.
Yeah.
And that was probably one of my best games in the tournament. I was still flying into tackles, like everything, the timing was right. Just the whole, the way we won that game, and obviously Harry Kane's goal, like just erupted Sterling's goal. It was just such a great day.
BT Sport Pods. What's this I hear about you singing with Ed Sheeran as well? Was that, because I've actually done that as well.
Did you?
Do you know the Peter Crouch show?
Yeah.
Crouch, you know, he gets me on there, and then Ed Sheeran gets up, starts singing "He's Coming Home" with Crouchy, and he's like, "Come up, come up." Oh God, dear, right. So I'm in the studio singing with him. It's like, it's just mental, isn't it? Something.
Yeah, because he come to.
He loves his football, by the way.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, I could tell. He come. Harry Kane organised it. He come for one evening. We had like a barbecue, like, and he brought his guitar.
Yeah.
Then he got out. And Gareth let the lads have like 2 beers each.
Yeah.
And like, he was just playing the guitar, singing songs for about 15 minutes, like just freestyling. Then I was late to like a meeting like earlier in the week. So then Harry Kane was like, he was late, like, you've got to get up and sing. So then I had to get up and sing with him. And then after that, like, we all went inside and then he was just singing with all the lads. Like, it was such a like unreal night. It was so
surreal.
Good.
It felt like that. It felt like the country coming together, but Qatar coming up deck. What's your expectations of it? A winter world's new for everyone. What are you thinking?
Yeah, obviously it's different. Like, usually associate a World Cup with the summer.
Yeah.
So it's going to be an odd one, November to December, but mindset's still in the same place. You know, World Cup, it's the biggest stage in football.
Yeah.
Us as players, no doubt, we got to the semis last time. You know, we need to go one step further this time, like we did in the Euros, but we actually... It's about time we won something now, you know. Like, we've got the squad, we've got, you know, players from City win stuff year and year. I know how to win stuff. Liverpool, obviously Man United, the history over the years. Chelsea, top players, players playing Champions League. Like, we've got players that are playing high pressure games, high level games. So we know as a group of lads what we're capable of. But it's just that, you know, doing it on the day in a tournament. You know, and we've done that the last two, but we need to go one step further this time.
I mean, it's massive, this is what I love about this squad, competition for places.
Yeah.
I could probably name only 7 or 8 players, I think, and you're one of them who are definitely on the plane.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I know you wouldn't admit that, but, you know, there's so much competition. Is it Foden, Grealish, Madison, Mount, Saka, Smith Rowe?
Yeah, it's scary.
Rashford's back in form. We've got the quality. Bowen, Jarrett, like, I mean, like,
I know,
there's so many players.
I know, it's a headache. I could imagine as a manager, it's horrible. But obviously, you know, this is why this period's important now. Start of the season to the World Cup, you need to do everything you possibly can to make sure that you go and, you know, you can then say you've been to a World Cup, which would be incredible for me.
This season, deck building off the back of a great season last year for West Ham. What is the goals, the realistic goals, and maybe the unrealistic goals, something, a little dream or something?
Well, obviously. The way the table's reading at the minute, it's not a reflection of how we've played. We should have beat Forest, obviously. Should have beat Spurs at the end of the game.
Like
we've, Chelsea, we've obviously been robbed with a decision. Like we've done well.
Yeah.
It's just obviously the table's not reading that, but the confidence is still high. Look, with the squad we've got now, and I'm out there training every day. This is the best. It's the best level of like West Ham, in terms of training and games of players that we've got that I've ever had here. For me, we have to win something this year.
Mm.
Like we have to go on a cup run. Whether that's the Carabao, whether that's the FA Cup, obviously we're in the Conference League. We need to push. We've got the squad now. We've got the squad depth. Everyone that can even come in that don't play in the Premier League, we've got a strong enough team to push and go the whole way. I feel like this club now needs that trophy, you know.
Yeah.
You see like Leicester winning the FA Cup. You see teams get into Carabao Cup finals. Like, why can't we? You
know,
like now we need to do that. And I think us as lads, we can't just be comfortable with just going in these competitions. You get knocked out, it's the other guy again next year. Like, we need to win something now. Like, the fans are also demanding that with the level of players we've got, and rightly so. Like, that's what I want. Imagine winning a trophy. Like, it would be incredible. So, we've got to try and push one of them this year.
Absolutely, mate, 100%. And that's music to the fans' ears. Like, so, Dec, it's been a pleasure.
Loved it, mate.
Always nice
loved
chatting
it, yeah.
With every guest, we do a quick fire questions. If you could play a round of golf with three people from any walk of life, who would it be? Dead or alive?
Can I name golfers as well?
You can name who you want. Don't have to be golfers.
Who would it be? I'm trying to think. One has to be Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
Like, he's the best. Obviously, everyone knows Tiger. For me to play golf with him, that would be incredible.
Remember, you've got to spend 4 hours with him, though. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
I would just name all golf. I love my golf.
You like your golf.
Like, I met Rory McIlroy the other day for the first time. I was starstruck.
I was
like, ah, this is McIlroy. Like, I never get starstruck.
Yeah.
Tiger, I'd go Tom Brady, because I know he likes his golf as well.
Yes.
And I love my NFL. Obviously, he's an absolute, he's one of the best ever. And I want to go Michael Jordan, because I know he loves his golf as well, and apparently he's a massive bettor, so I wouldn't have to bet with him, but I'd love a round with him.
Don't bet with him, mate. I've heard some
rumours. That's a good free, that.
That is a good. What one moment of your career would you like to go back and relive so far?
Ooh. Moment of my career I'd like to relive? Probably either the first goal against Arsenal, like just to score that first goal again and celebrate. But also that Germany game, like that always sticks for me in the Euros, just because of the way we'd done it. We wasn't the underdogs in a way. And
it's a massive game.
Massive game, and also how it was after, like all the lads singing Sweet Caroline in front of our families. Like we hadn't been able to see our families for like 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And like seeing them all in front, the whole stadium singing, just like them experiences. You walk off the pitch, your face is just like, you can't stop smiling. Like one of them moments, two of them, I would love to live through them again.
Incredible. If you could play alongside anyone in your career, who would it be?
In midfield.
In midfield or anywhere, just in your team.
Wow.
You remember, it could be anyone. You have a time machine. You could do what you want.
I would like to play. I'm gonna go Stevie G.
Good shout.
Yeah, I feel like just how he, obviously him and Lamps, they're always compared. Like I could say Lamps as well.
Yeah.
Adore Lamps as a player. But like just Stevie G, I don't know, there's just something about him. He's like, the way he's on the pitch, he just turns into like an animal. I feel like we'd complement each other well. Obviously he can just do everything. He can run into the box, he can tackle, he can pass, he can dictate play. Like, I feel like to play with him and see how he plays would be special.
That's a great shout. What's the best initiation you've ever seen? Any of the lads done anything?
No.
Has anyone just absolutely had a mare?
We don't do initiations. We don't do initiations here, no. Because when those were, like, we never... It's, if you're late in that, like, I sung... I sung World's Greatest once.
Mm.
That was all right. Also sung One Direction.
Yeah.
On tour once, that wasn't too bad. But the lads, we never really do initiation songs here.
Really?
Even at England, we don't do initiation songs. I know at other clubs, it's like a given. New player signed, you have to do it. But here, that's not something we've ever done. So that's
Okay, all right, that's fair enough. Who's the best player you've ever played against?
See, I get asked this question all the time, and it always like changes. Like, there's so many interviews where I thought someone you said him, or I thought you said him. You know what I mean?
No, I get the same thing, mate.
Like, you come up against so many good players.
All right. Change the question. Who's given you the most trouble in a one game where you've come off the pitch and gone, oh, I didn't get close to him? Or
David Silva, 100%.
Yeah, yeah, like, okay.
I mean, like, I think it was that game we spoke about said I played centre-half at City.
Yeah.
He played in like a left 10 position, and obviously as a centre-half, like, you kind of got to like step out to attach yourself to him, and I was lost. Like, he was just, he's so intelligent, and you'd go to press him, ball would come into him, you'd go to get up to him and he'd just knock it around the corner, move again, like, feint his movement, get the ball again, run behind you.
Yeah.
And I was after, like, head was just scrambled.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then a year after, I played in midfield and I had him again, and he just, the positions he picks up, the pockets. I've had so many players, like, even like Hazard and that though, like just when they're running at you, just the power and the strength, it's like, you just got to back yourself, you know what I mean? You're just coming up against these players and you're like, wow. But David Silva was the one for me.
Yeah, good shout. David Silva, player. What's the weirdest superstition you've seen in football?
We don't really have a superstitious group, or with England, really. Like, for me, sometimes I always eat the same pre-match and things like that because it's in my head. Like, I've played well eating that type of food before games, so it's like, I'm not going to change that in case I have one. You know what I mean?
Yeah, footballers are like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like superstitions. Like, I know JT was mad superstitious, wasn't he? But for me, we don't really have a superstitious group here, or at England, I don't think, anyway.
You know, I'll tell you, just reminded me, Stuart Pearce. Right, I played with him West Ham. He used to get an egg timer, which is what you use for cooking, and he used to have a routine before every game. Like, he'd be like, I don't know, fold his socks up on that minute, stretch his groin on this minute, do something, go to the toilet on this minute. He was like that. And it all culminated till the game kicked off at 3:25. And Mark Powell, every time he turned away, kept pushing it forward a minute. So he's thinking it's like, it's only about 2 o'clock, and he thinks it's half two. So he's like screaming at the door to lads to come out, and lads are going, what are you doing, Piercy?
He went, mate, done him.
I've never been so scared in my life.
Yeah.
We had Piercy on, we did great, and, you know, love him. He went ballistic at everyone because he's thinking the game kicking off and off now. Why is everyone just standing around picking their nose or whatever?
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's probably the weirdest one for me.
That's crazy. Yeah, there's not a big one. There's not really big suspicion. Nah, there's not really, nah.
You're probably a lot more sensible than what you were. Anyway, sweet deck.
Amazing, thank you.
Thank you. BT Sport Pods.